Brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyar, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now, we've got a few things happened this past week we want to talk about. One, an American was killed by a Palestinian terrorist. So we'll talk about that. And the terrorist, by the way, this was a suicide bomber, the kind of terrorist attacks that Saddam Hussein pays $20,000 for each successful suicide bomber in Israel, Iraq, publicly. They hold press conferences. They talk about it publicly. They pay $20,000 for each successful suicide attack, Palestinian terrorist attack. And this week, an American teenager was killed. And the suicide bomber had a letter with him, and the letter was praising the 9/11 attacks against America. So I guess there's really no link between Saddam and terror, state-sponsored terrorism, and aggression against America and our allies. No link. No link whatsoever. All right, well, this past week also, Saddam offered a televised debate to George W. Bush. And he said through his spokesperson, Dan Rather, Saddam said, "I am ready to conduct a direct dialogue, a debate with your president. I will say what I want and he will say what he wants." And so I'm going to give you what Ari Fleischer's response was, the White House press secretary, and then I'll give you the response that I had, that Cheryl and I, we heard the offer of the debate together on the news, and I gave her, I said, "This is what the White House should say." And she said, "Quick, email them." And I said, "No." Well, here's what Ari Fleischer said. He said, "This is not about a debate. This is about disarmament and complying with the world's instructions that Iraq disarm." That was his response. This was my response for the press secretary. He should have said, "The president accepts and will debate Saddam Hussein 1 hour for every televised debate he has had with his political opponents for the last 20 years. So every televised debate that Saddam Hussein has had in the last 20 years, George W. Bush will agree to a 1 hour debate with him." So Saddam, how long are we going to be debating? Huh? You haven't had any? Not even one debate? Oh, you've just killed them all? Oh, well, then time for debates passed. So that's how I would have responded, but that's why I'm not the press secretary. Well, that's one of a whole host of reasons. But that's one of them. Our phone number is 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. We've got professors right and left being arrested for supporting terror and being charged with terrorism and murder. And graduate student who was... he was a PhD candidate in computer security, and he's been helping with some terrorist websites. And then we've got more American flags being burned in Arab countries. And it will forever remind us of the Islamabad group that was supporting Osama bin Laden And what a beautiful picture. We had it on KGov for a long time. And the picture was, we had a caption on, under the picture, cigarette lighter, $195. American flag, $35. Terrorist supporting moron setting himself on fire, priceless. The guy's totally on fire. And all he's trying to do is set a flag on fire. Anyway, I saw another picture like that just before the show, so it just brings back fond memories. Okay, what else do we have here? We've got, all right, I did a debate this week with a young woman who was one of the first to show up at the big anti-war protest in New York City a few weeks back. And my son, Josiah, in New Jersey, he was the moderator of the debate. And she would only debate if we agreed not to record it and not to air it. So we agreed to the first. No, I'm only kidding. So we didn't record it. But anyway, I got to tell you, it was very, very close to being in the Twilight Zone. Josiah told me after it was over, she ended up in tears. Now, we had a very cordial one-hour debate. And I asked her, and this is consistent what we've seen on the news. And there have been a number of conservatives in the media pointing out that when you hear interviews of the people at the anti-war rallies, they don't know anything of what's going on. They're almost completely ignorant. In fact, one guy did a column saying, you know, he wanted to find out what the anti-war arguments were, so he went to an all-day anti-war rally. And what he concluded was that if there are any arguments to be made against the war in Iraq, you're not going to hear them at an anti-war rally. You're going to have to go somewhere else because you'll hear cheers of hatred for America and our government, and especially George W. Bush, but you're not going to hear actual arguments against the war in Iraq at an anti-war rally. Well, anyway, this young woman, she's a college student, and I wanted to know, well, what are our arguments? What has Saddam Hussein done, or what is he accused of doing that's bad? And the only thing she knew was a vague notion that he was not a good leader. That's it. She didn't even know that he had been accused of killing thousands of his own people, men, women, and children, entire villages. She didn't know. She had never heard that. She didn't know that he had his own son-in-law murdered. She didn't know that he uses torture readily, including the rape of women to keep the women in line and in fear, and even the men, the husbands, the fathers, and the brothers in line and for fear that their wives or daughters or sisters will be raped. She had never heard that. She had never heard that he tortures kids in front of their parents. So she had never heard any of these things, that he's gassed his own people. So how do you be an anti-war protester and know nothing? Oh, wait a minute. I guess that's how. We'll be right back. Listener-supported radio right here at Bob and Yurt Live. This is a commercial break, a live commercial break. Normally, during the commercial breaks, we don't name names. But I got to tell you, the Bible study audio albums that we are converting from audio tape to MP3s, CDs, each album is being converted to an MP3 CD. The work is being done by an audio engineer in New York State, Robert Brown. And he called me today and he said, Bob, I have to tell you, the KGov store for Bob and Yurt Live at KGOV.com, it is fabulous. He said, and I'm familiar with the internet stores of all these different national ministries, and he named a few. And he said, you go to kgov.com, and you click on the store, and you shop, and it is so well laid out. It's so well organized. It's so simple, informative, easy to use. And he said, I just love it. I said, Robert, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to hear that. We got Joe Rosano to thank for the store. Oh, yeah, he's a software engineer in Connecticut, and he's done the store. So we have so many people to thank, not only here in Denver and at our home church, at Denver Bible Church, but all over the country. And you could be one of the people who help keep this show on the air. Go to our store. You could make a pledge or call us at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Order materials, make a pledge, and thank you so much. All right. Now, this is the 1 hour. This is the 1 minute break for internet only. So we have a little time here. Let's see. Now, computer. Did you ever see that Star Trek movie where Scotty picked up a mouse and said, and talked to it and said, computer? But the computer didn't respond. That's what I feel like doing right now. My computer is reasonably locked up. Somebody get Bill Gates on the line. All right? I know I should have bought an apple.
Scotty was talking to an apple.
Scotty was talking to an apple? Oh, computer. Oh, he was, wasn't he? On Star Trek. Yeah, that's pretty funny. All right, here we go. One 800 8 NYART. 1-800-836-9278. We goof off so much during the internet only breaks that air on kgov.com that, and I get yelled at from the crew for not selling things. We take calls during the breaks and so on. Okay, now let's see. We've got one of the snipers got in trouble in jail. He's not dead yet. Now the snipers, the one is Lee Malvo, and what's the other? John, somebody or other? John what? Oh, Muhammad. John Muhammad. Oh, brother. How could I have forgotten that? And Lee Malvo wrote Muhammad on his cell floor. And he also reportedly told an inmate that he wanted to kill a guard. And so the death threat had no consequence, but he's in trouble for basically putting graffiti on his cell. So there, that's... At least we have our priorities straight. You know, when you're running a jail, you got to keep it clean. I remember a kid in jail. He was, what, 18 years old? And I did maybe 2 weeks with him in a cell, Jefferson County. And he was the weirdest kid. He flushed everything down the toilet. Everything. I don't mean just paper and food. I mean Uno card decks. I mean his clothes, torn up in shreds. I mean his pillow, everything. The guards would come in and say, where's your stuff? He'd say, what stuff? Where's your stuff? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Where's your stuff? I don't know. And they look at me. What am I going to say? He eats it. What does he do with stuff? I don't know. Anyway, you got to keep the jails clean. So, and the two snipers are still alive. I don't know why. When they did their crimes, of course, they admitted their allegiance to Islamic terrorist goals. And so what they did was in concert with the terrorism that had come not long before that. And in fact, remember at LAX, the airport in L.A., the Palestinian-American who hated Israel, and he hated his neighbor who had an American flag and used to complain that the flag was up. And he went into LAX. I think he owned a limo company. He went into LAX. He took a gun, and he started killing people at the El Al ticket counter. He killed a couple people, and then, thankfully, an El Al security guard shot and killed him. And the first thing our government and the media said was, this was not terrorist-related. What do you mean not terrorist-related? If his name is Muhammad, or if he's Palestinian and hates America and kills people at an El Al ticket counter, it's terrorism. So we have had additional terrorist attacks, and they have not been sophisticated, thankfully. And there's a camp, an Al-Qaeda camp has been raided. In fact, there was a firefight or a gunfight. And this camp, it's right where Iran and Pakistan and Afghanistan all meet. And there have been some arrests, and there are rumors from the local officials that two of Saddam's sons have been arrested, that a number of Al-Qaeda operatives were killed, a handful of them, and Saddam's two sons were wounded. And we don't know that that's true. Our government is saying that's a rumor, and most likely there will be DNA tests done to see if there are any bin Laden genetics linked. What else has happened this week? Oh, the 50th anniversary of the death of Joseph Stalin. All right. Uncle Joe, Joseph Stalin, dead, the Soviet tyrant who murdered somewhere in the vicinity of 20 million people. And thousands in Moscow remembered his death in a solemn march to his gravesite in Red Square and laid flowers and wept. How's that one? Now, thankfully, there are many in Russia who know that he is a brutal mass murderer whose wickedness surpassed even Hitler's if you measure it in the number of people he murdered, his own countrymen. So 20 million people were victims of his political purges, and yet there are thousands in Russia that will march in Red Square and lay flowers down at his beneath his bust. Why is it even still there? Why is it even still there? At least in Berlin, there are no monuments to Adolf Hitler. But not public monuments. All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-836-9278. Oh, Doug McBurney's traveling, by the way. All right, in Goshen, Indiana, Galen, speak your mind.
Yeah, there's one thing I want to get straight. I first of all, I enjoy your program and what you say, and I agree with you. But there's one thing you refer to USA as being a democracy.
All right.
It is not. It's a republic.
It's a republic, a representative republic?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, and if our Pledge of Allegiance to the flag is right, why... We pledge allegiance to a republic.
All right, Galen, try to follow me with this. I know we've all heard that 10,000 times over. That's an exaggeration, but we've heard that a lot. But follow me on this. When the Constitution was first ratified, the federal government was 1/6 Democratic. Is that right?
I guess.
Well, math is pretty straightforward. The Constitution divided the federal government into three branches, and one half of the legislative branch was Democratic. It was the House of Representatives, where the people would directly vote for their representatives. The other half of the legislative branch was the Senate. The people did not vote for the senators, but they were to be selected by the upper house of the states. And then you had the president, which was not to be elected by the people, but to be chosen by the electors who were to be appointed by the state legislatures and governors. And then you had the unelected position of the president nominating Supreme Court justices, which was the third branch, the judicial branch of the federal government, and they would be confirmed by the unelected branch in the legislature, the unelected House of the senators. So 5/6 of the federal government was not Democratic. Now, we not only vote for the representatives, but we vote directly for the senators, and we vote for the president. And it's the president and the senators, which are both democratically elected for the most part, which decide who will go into the judiciary, which means that our federal government has been transformed to almost completely Democratic. So if we want to make believe that we haven't changed the rules and we don't vote for all these posts, then we could say we're not a democracy. And you could say that when we were founded, our founding fathers didn't want us to be a full-fledged democracy. But for the last 240 years, we've been becoming increasingly a country of raw democracy. We even vote for We even vote directly on laws and initiatives and ballot initiatives and amendments, and we even vote on judges. So we're becoming a nation of raw democracy.
Well, I always looked at democracy as just next to socialism.
Democracy, that's a political system, and socialism is an economic system.
Well.
And there you can have – there are different kinds of political systems. Like there are democracies and monarchies, right? And there are timocracies where only people with property vote. And there are – we can name a half a dozen – popular different forms of political systems, and any of those could be socialist or communist or capitalist, meaning freedom in economic activity. So to confuse a political system and an economic system sort of clouds the issues. And so democracies are bad, and our government has become a democracy. But to tell you the truth, Galen, I'm not a fan of a republic, a representative republic, because tell me the difference here. Let's say the people want to vote to legalize abortion and homosexuality. So in a raw democracy, say the people of New York, they vote to legalize abortion and legalize homosexuality. In a representative republic, Hillary Clinton says, I support abortion and I support homosexuality. So the people of New York vote her in as their senator, and she supports laws to legalize abortion and legalize homosexuality. A republic is just a slightly slowed down democracy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any substantive difference. What's the difference? There's just one intervening step.
Okay, I wanted an explanation on this, and I guess I've got it.
All right, thank you.
Okay, there's one other thing.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned Hillary Clinton. Some person had a little article in one paper here that maybe Ted Kennedy ought to take Hillary Clinton for a ride across the bridge.
Okay. Thank you, Gabe.
Thank you.
All right, well, more people have died in Ted Kennedy's car than in American nuclear power plants. So, all right. And that, of course, was a tragic time in history when Ted Kennedy killed a young lady and ran away. And basically, in payment for that, in retribution, he's been named Senator of Massachusetts for life. So at least the people of Massachusetts, at least they have their moral compass set firmly pointing south. My computer has been locked up the entire show. This is so frustrating. This is really frustrating. I should have got a Macintosh. I admit it.
Say Steve Jobs three times while clicking your heels.
Jason Troyer, who is biased in favor of Apple, said, say Steve Jobs three times while clicking your heels. You know, Steve Jobs, he's okay, but he is a lunatic. But he was a good marketing guy. He told Steve Wozniak, he said, Steve, this is what I want you to do. I want you to make me a computer. And Steve said, a what? A computer, and I want it to be the size of a milk box. Yeah, and I want it to be white or beige, some color like that. And Steve Wozniak said, okay. And he made it in his garage, the Apple. Is that how that went? Do I have that story right? Pretty much, yeah. So Steve Jobs, you know, he was the visionary, and Steve Wozniak, he was the brains. Well, the visionary has to have brains too, I guess. I hope. All right. Now I got, you know what's on my computer? The blue screen of death. This is really discouraging. The show is going to be over by the time my computer reboots. From the time Zachary was 4 years old, he would say, Dad, do we have to reboot the computer? Four-year-olds were not supposed to know about things like rebooting. And now his favorite thing is, can we go to Lego.com? Well, we can, son, for the next year or two until they start hiring homosexuals. So get your Lego kicks in while you can. Nah, you don't have to boycott every crazy company. All right, let's see here. Oh. So I'm supposed to be selling something, otherwise I get in trouble. All right, let me tell you about our videos. We've got, and you can check them out on the web. They're cool. Mount Moriah, God and the Death Penalty, A Bible Tour of Israel, Get Out of the Matrix, Live from Las Vegas. In fact, guess what? One of our videos just increased in price. You know, our videos are all $24.95 and $19.95. And one of them is so funny. We took a vote, and I voted to keep it at $19.95, and everybody else wanted to raise it, so we raised it to $24.95. You know, this is not a democracy, but, you know, when it comes to money. All right, welcome back. Bob Benyart Live. By the way, we just reduced the price of our videos on the internet. If you buy 10 videos, we lowered the price for 10 videos by $10. And if you buy 20 videos, we lowered that price by $20. And they were already, you could already save a fortune off their single video price. So this is the time to buy videos from Bob Benyart Live at kgov.com on the internet. Or you can call us 1-800-8-NYART. All right, I'm going to go to the phones here. In where's this caller calling from? Where's that? All right, find out. Get the spelling right. I think the caller is calling from a province somewhere in northern China. We've got a headline here in the Denver Compost, the Denver Post. And the headline is, bombing not the way to peace. Bombing not the way to peace. No, right. Bombing is the way to justice, and it's the way to freedom. It's the way to liberate the Iraqi people. And then these moronic liberals, does every liberal have to say in every interview that you can't use military force to impose democracy? Do they have to say that in every interview? Because I don't even like democracy, and I know you can. We did it in Japan. We did it in Germany. I mean, of course you can. Is Germany a democracy? That's not what I'm talking about. The call screener said, well, they only vote for stupid people. That's besides the point. Are they a democracy? Yes. And we bombed Germany into a democracy, and look what we're getting for it. Look what we're getting for it. All right, let's go to Denver. Denver, Colorado. Christian, speak your mind.
Give us more information on the L.A. Airport. Incident, what happened there?
Well, that was about, was that 8 months ago? And it made all the news. And maybe, right. You know, it's easy to miss one particular murder, Christian. But it made the news, and it was someone who of Arabic descent who supported the Palestinian cause against America. And, in fact, he lived in an apartment house. He owned a limo service in L.A. And the guy who lived one floor below him had an American flag out. In fact, I think it was a veteran. And this guy hated his neighbor putting out the flag and complained about it regularly. And so one day he was in financial difficulties, for one. So he took a gun into LAX, and he was a limo driver, so he probably, you know, he walked in, went to the ticket counter, and started shooting people at the El Al ticket counter, which is Israel's airline, El Al.
Oh, okay.
And so it was obviously in our media and the government simultaneously and immediately said there's no connection to terrorism. And in Israel, the Jerusalem Post and over in Israel, they were a bit annoyed at that because Jews are getting killed by someone of Arab descent who supports the Palestinian cause, who hates America, and he goes to the El Al ticket counter. Obviously, it was terrorism. It was another suicide terrorist attack.
Right. I mean, so that was my next question. We knew it had to do something with the security, with the media covering this up and trying to say that, I heard somewhere that the government was trying to, protect us before, we had another attack.
Yeah.
Or the first anniversary, and I think they didn't want to connect this to anything like that. Is that correct?
They didn't want to, mention those attacks? And connect them?
I mean, they didn't want to say that it was terrorist-related or something
like
that.
Well, right. And, it does. The media hasn't covered it up. They reported the crime. It's just their interpretation. And what? Be terrorist, you have to, maybe the terrorists have to tattoo their chest and say, I am a terrorist, before they kill someone. And then he was shot to death by an El Al security guard. So anyway,
I mean, isn't there a form of covering up, like in the way you present something?
Well, I think they interpreted it wrongly. Right. When people commit crimes in league with Palestinian terrorism, Islamic jihad, Al-Qaeda, then it's terrorism. The liberals today, they say, well, you can't prove a connection to Al-Qaeda. Well, they're an Islamic terrorist group, and they have death to America and death to Israel. That's enough of a connection. You don't need more of a connection. That's it. It's not like they all got degrees from Rutgers or something, and they're card-carrying members of Al-Qaeda. It's a loosely knit worldwide criminal culture. And once they take action or conspire, then they're guilty. But I want to thank you very much, Christian, for your call. And let's go to Meridian, Connecticut. Phil, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Could I talk about the Garden of Eden?
Well, sure. Well, let's do it.
Most people don't know where the Garden of Eden is today.
Well, that's a good point.
But the Bible clearly outlines it with four rivers. You might not know what Havilah is or Hiddekel is, but you do know where Ethiopia is and the Euphrates is. So,
well, the Euphrates River is not in Ethiopia.
No, I'm outlining the Garden of Eden.
Okay. Now
it goes from Ethiopia to the Euphrates River, and it goes east of Assyria, which would be the Persian Gulf. So that encompasses Saudi Arabia, Iraq, and Ethiopia.
I think you're, hey, Phil, it seems to me you're combining a couple different things. It seems like you're talking about the Holy Land, the land that God, the promised land that God promised to Abraham.
No. This is its outline. When you look up the Garden of Eden, and you'll see it's outlined by four rivers.
Phil, the four rivers, the earth, originally, there was no rain that came on the earth.
There was no what?
There was no rain. It didn't rain on the earth. And water bubbled up from within the center, the midst of the Garden of Eden, and it came up, a huge amount of water gushed up from beneath the crust of the earth, and it flowed out of the Garden of Eden at one point. And at that point, it split in four directions and watered the whole earth. And there was only one continent on the earth, and the rest was the ocean, the sea.
Right.
And those four rivers, we have the names of those four rivers in the book of Genesis.
Right.
And they include the Euphrates River and the
Isan Gihon.
Yeah.
And Hidekel.
Yeah, Hidekel, Gihon. And those rivers, in that they flow around the whole land of Cush, and they flow toward the east of Assyria. Those were names. That was describing the world in those four rivers from before Noah's flood.
Right. It's before Noah's flood, and, but it outlines the garden. It's right there.
Noah's flood completely changed the face of the earth. The surface features of the earth completely changed, utterly changed. Right. I do believe the Garden of Eden was in the Middle East. I do believe that for biblical reasons.
No, but the reason why you get the sweet light crude oil is because you're drawn from the Garden of Eden.
No, that's not why.
Well, that's the best oil on earth.
Well, tell that to the Venezuelans.
How
about up in Alaska?
Well, it's harder to refine than the... That's why we want to use the Middle East oil.
Where did coal come from?
Coal come from the same thing, vegetation, just like oil did.
Coal came from vegetation that was buried during the flood.
Well, that's right. So did the Garden of Eden get covered with
sediment. And oil, didn't oil come from the animal byproducts, biomass?
It comes from all that vegetation.
I think vegetation turns into coal.
No, if there's no water, it'll turn to coal, but if there's water, it'll turn to oil. The rule of thumb for finding oil is if it's arid above, it's oil below. You don't believe it?
I'm not saying I don't believe that.
Okay.
But, hey, Phil, you and I agree that the Garden of Eden was in the Middle East.
Right. It's in Saudi Arabia and Iraq.
And the only slight disagreement is that I think that the oil came from animal
vegetation.
All right. Well, we'll...
Let me tell you.
We'll look into it more.
Well, they tell you... Hello?
Yeah.
They tell you that oil takes millions of years to produce.
They're wrong.
You can produce oil in a season.
Yeah, they're wrong. Thank you, Phil.
Olive oil comes in one season.
Yeah, you're right. Oil was produced rapidly. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Now let's go to, that must have been one big garden, the Garden of Eden. But, you know, the water flowed. Remember when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden so that they could not eat of the tree of life? Because the tree of life, the fruit of the tree of life, they had physical bodies. And even though they were sinless, their bodies would wear down over time. And the tree of life would enable them to live forever, to rejuvenate their bodies physically. So that's why they were kicked out.
Bob I'm determining that at least in one commercial break out of three,
one break,
you're going to sell something.
Hi, Jason.
So, hi, how you doing?
Jason Troyer just broke into the studio.
Now, since you're complaining about your PC, and I like Macs, I brought in a video that was edited on a Mac.
Oh, they do good graphic work.
That's right.
I got to admit.
So what I brought in was...
What is this video here?
Live from Las Vegas.
Oh, that was fun.
It was extremely fun. We talked to people going through and buying equipment and talking to other people,
going
professionals.
Through Las Vegas through their convention center.
At the National Association of Broadcasters. You had your booth there and through IRN. Mm-hmm. And we had people come up and try to debate you on a whole host of issues, whether it's homosexuality, criminal justice. That was a big one at that convention. People wanted to talk about... their creative ways to punish people. And you said, well, the Bible has good ideas. Don't you think the Bible has the best ideas?
Yeah, yeah.
And they were unaware of those topics in the Bible.
That was the more like Christian ones.
Yeah, exactly. But there was a few that one girl said that she wasn't going to save herself for marriage and there was nothing wrong with being promiscuous before marriage.
Right, right, right.
And then you talked to her and she said, well, I didn't have a chance to talk the whole debate, but we have a little running clock.
That's funny. Wait, let's explain this. This woman was angry because I didn't let her talk during the debate, a three-minute debate.
Mm-hmm.
So we had so then when you produced it, you put a clock running on the bottom, a digital clock.
That's right. When she talked, I started the clock, and when she stopped and you talked, I turned the clock off, so it only ran when she was talking.
Right, and how long did she talk for?
She talked for 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
That's
right. Out of our short little debate.
That's right.
She said, well, you didn't give me any time to talk. And then a woman shortly after her, she said, and you didn't give that lady any time to talk. And I said to her, I said, if I could tell you five of the points that lady made, would that prove I gave her time to talk?
No, no, that's not it.
No.
But it's a fun video. So give us a call, 1-888-8-NYART, and get live from Las Vegas.
Welcome back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-836-9278. So the American that was killed by Saddam Hussein supported terrorist was a 14-year-old girl, Abigail Lettner, a U.S. citizen, and she happened to be in Haifa on a bus with high school students, and 10 kids were killed on that bus explosion this week. And police said that the suicide bomber, Mahmoud Hamdan Kawasami, 20 years old of the West Bank city of Hebron, that he was carrying a letter praising the September 11th attacks. And so Saddam Hussein, he paid $20,000 for that successful terrorist attack in Israel. And you got Hans Blix searching the country with a magnifying glass, and I don't see evidence of anything. Can't find a single thing here. Nope, nothing there either. Now I don't recall. I'm not the best informed talk show host in the world, but didn't the North Koreans build nuclear weapons while the UN inspectors were in the country the whole time? Didn't something like that happen? And you've got every Democrat in the world and liberal saying, well, just contain Saddam Hussein. How do you contain a cup of anthrax in a country the size of California? How do you contain a cup of anthrax? One cup of anthrax could shut down what city? Name it. What postal system? What? Millions of people could be affected by one cup. Saddam has thousands of pounds of anthrax, gallons, however you want to measure it. Let's go to Aurora, Colorado. Dean, speak your mind. Hello, Dean.
Yes.
Welcome.
Bob, I was wondering if you could sum up more for me if hate is really a sin.
Hate is not a sin if it's appropriate. Hate is a sin if it's wrong. When it's appropriate, it's not a sin. right? The Bible says there's a time for war and a time for peace, a time for love and a time for hate. And the Bible says that God hates the wicked. He hates the soul of the wicked. He hates their heart. And hate, you know, the Apostle Paul said, let your love be without hypocrisy, hate evil.
Oh, because I go to a Lutheran school, and the pastor that teaches catechism there,
yeah,
he's trying to teach the kids and tell them that hate is really a sin, and any form of hate that you show is a sin.
Well, God hates evil. God hates evil, so hopefully he wouldn't think that God is sinning. And when didn't King David say something like, I hate them who hate you, O Lord? I think he said that. And there are probably a half a dozen verses in the Bible that come right out and say that God hates the wicked. In Proverbs and in where else? Psalms, for example. And Dean, you know, God loves the world and he hates the wicked at the same time. And you could love, you could hate, say, a terrorist or a murderer, a rapist, child molester. You could hate that person, but yet love him enough to warn him to repent and to become a Christian and ask God to forgive him of his sins. So you could hate him and love him enough to warn him. But when they go, when the Bible says that God hates the wicked, in the many places it says that, when, let me give you an example, Dean. When God, when there are people that God does not like in the Bible, and he opens up the earth and sucks them down alive into hell, does that seem especially loving? Dean?
What?
Does it seem loving when God sucks people down alive into hell in the Bible?
No.
That doesn't seem loving. That's really harsh. It's really harsh. But God does. If somebody hurts my kids, I'm going to want to see them punished. And if they repent and they become Christians, then Jesus Christ took their punishment and I could love them eternally, and I will, in fellowship with them, even if they hurt me or my family. But if somebody hurts my kids and they don't repent, I'm going to want them punished severely. And
so
that's
what you're saying is hate's not a sin, but God hates people, but it's because he loves them?
No, I'm not exactly saying that. For example, when God sends people to hell, that's an act of justice and an act of vengeance. It's not necessarily an act of love. Now, you might find some love in there. I think you can. But it's not primarily an act of love. Do you remember, Dean, the story in the Bible where God was mad at some people? Korah's rebellion in the book of Numbers. And Korah was trying to institute democracy in Israel. And God didn't like that, so God told Moses, said, all right, Korah, you line up over there, and Aaron and I will line up over here. And so they separated, and Moses said, no, you guys back up a little further. And they backed up more, and then God opened up the earth and sucked Korah in his rebellion down alive into hell. Now, when God did that, that's not especially loving. It's because God didn't like democracy. Well, he also didn't like Korah, and Korah was evil, and so God killed him. So I think your teacher is, I don't think he has any Bible verses to prove his point, and I would be gracious and respectful toward him, but I would print out all the Bible verses that mention hate, especially where God hates, you know, where God hates the wicked, for example. Right? And the way you do that is you get a Bible concordance and you look up hate and you find all the verses. We could do some of the verses now if you wanted to. But, all right, anything else, Dean?
But I thought that in order to, like, teach someone,
yeah,
that's in order to, like, love them or something, and you'd have to, like, if your child, if you know they, like, if you have a baby and they want to play with knives, and can't you punish them if they play with the knives and they cut themselves? Isn't that showing love?
Yeah, right. If you discipline your child, if you spank a child, while you're doing that, you definitely can be doing that in love. Definitely.
So sometimes when you show hate towards someone, like your child, you're trying to show love to them?
No, I don't show hate to my children. Right? I don't show hate to my children.
Oh.
Right? I don't show hate to my children, but God, in the Bible, in places, he hates the wicked. You know, the Bible never says hate the sin, love the dinner. Or how does that go? Hate the gin, love the dinner.
Isn't Jesus showing hate to his children?
Oh, because you're saying because the evil people on earth are his children. Well, he made us, right? But remember they said, the Pharisees said, we're Abraham's children. And Jesus said, and, you know, we're all God's children. And Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. So God created us, but we have sort of disowned him and turned our allegiance over to those who hate God. And so, like in Psalm 5, verse 5, we find out that God hates all the workers of iniquity. And it doesn't say he hates their sin, but he hates the workers of, you, O Lord, hate all workers of iniquity. And the Lord hates the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. And Psalm 11, verse 5, the wicked God hates. And we could go on quite a bit. You know, in Proverbs chapter 6, there's some interesting passages. God hates the arrogant man. And God is against those who do evil, Psalm 34, verse 16. So the Lord hates, remember in Proverbs, the Lord hates six things: a heart that devises wicked plans, a false witness who speaks lies, the one who shows discord among his brethren. These are among the things that God hates. He hates the heart. He hates the false witness. He hates the one who speaks lies and the one who sows discord. So, and Dean, some people say that you could hate the sin but love the sinner. And if that were true, then God could do that. And on Judgment Day, he could let all the sinners into heaven because he loves them and just send their sin to hell. Just judge their sin and their skin, I guess, but let them into heaven. But anyway, you ask very good questions. And,
Rob?
Yes.
I'm not trying to disagree with you or trying to contradict you or anything. But
yeah, no.
Those are some of the questions that my teacher's asking me.
Dean, I think you're asking very good questions. And the Bible verses that I gave you, let me make a prediction. Your teacher has not used any of those Bible verses in these discussions. Was that prediction true?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I could even go further and say your teacher probably does not know that there are verses that say God hates the wicked and that some of God's people hate the wicked. So thank you, Dean, very much for your call. Sorry we ran out of time. That prediction came true, but I made another one that's apparently coming false. The Ides of March. I had said that by the Ides of March, Saddam would no longer be in control of his country. And so we're coming right up there. Anybody knows their ancient Roman calendar? You know, we got another just over a week to go. I think I'm out. Is Bob going to remind you to do right and risk the consequences?